Hi, this is Sophia Rifkin-Haas commenting on Gary Steingart's Absurdistan, pages 279 to 281. I chose this passage because I see it as a major turning point in the book. The narrative shifts from slapstick socio-political commentary to full-throttle bellicose satire. An eerie subversive clarity begins to descend on both Misha and the reader from this point forward. With Misha as our bumbling guide, we start to piece together the strands of tragedy, both the tragedy of Misha's violent and abusive childhood and the terrifying corruption that seems to be the only thing holding the world together. I would like to examine the ways in which this psychedelic drug trip functions as a complex awakening that rattles Misha, and by extension the entire world of the text, in such a fundamental way that both the narrator and the reader are shaken into a preternatural state of wakefulness. I read this section as a kind of lucid dream sequence, a choreographed dream ballet that is both real, in that it allows raw honesty, and I quote, "Many things happened. First, communism died, then Papa got rich, we went to the Alps, I got circumcised, something bad." Misha bluntly tells things exactly as they are. And it is also imagined, in that it allows Misha to escape his lumbering, unwieldy body and move more or less freely across time and space. Much like in a dream sequence found in a Gene Kelly movie like Singing in the Rain or American in Paris, the seemingly impossible mutability of characters, space, and time imbue this passage with an incredibly eerie power to reveal startling truths. Indeed, the twisted horrors of Misha's childhood and the increasingly twisted world around him cannot be communicated in a linear, grounded narrative. So Steingart cleverly invokes the cinematic, rearranging snippets of hazy slow-motion memories within imagined interactions, glib catchphrases, and charged physicality. He creates an overwhelming cacophony, peppered by disturbing rhetorical questions. I wonder where the grown-ups are, anyway. Why didn't you protect me from him? What you doing? For me, one of the most moving moments of the whole book occurs when Misha stumbles upon his mother, lying ravaged and alone. Quote, "I couldn't believe that I was calling my mother poor girl, but there it was, the feeling that she was younger than me and in need of my help." Misha realizes two profound things. His mother is both to blame in that she did not protect him from his father, and at the same time he sees that she is also a victim, a poor little girl desperately in need of succor herself. This complex duality leads to what I think are some of the principal questions that the novel is asking. What is the role of a parent, and when does a parent's love become parasitic and damaging? Steingart clothes parents in the same frightening costumes as dictators and abusers. I would like all of you to think about what this means. Are we supposed to come away from this novel feeling like family in the 21st century should be rendered obsolete because it is as corrupt and vile as the oil industry or the United States government? In addition to asking questions about family, this passage also raises fundamental questions about the nature of the individual and free will. Misha temporarily takes leave of Nana and her scheming father, but, he says, "I let the house do the walking. It pivoted around me, dozens of empty sunlit rooms flashing past until I was standing by the front gate, nudging it open with two disembodied hands. I was free." But is he free? A little later on in the passage, he is able to clearly articulate the pain and confusion of the penetrations that have violated him throughout his life. Misha talks of all the hands groping him, inevitably assaulting his body in the most vulnerable place, his scarred genitals. Thus, I would posit that this passage flirts with the idea that the pain of Misha's life is beginning to help him gain the self-awareness and the willful conviction that he appears to have at the end of the book. However, we cannot ignore the fact that it is only in this drug-induced dream state that Misha is able to walk out of the Nana Bragov complex, an exit that foreshadows his eventual rejection of the viciously exploitative yet slickly packaged democracy, as championed by Skrod and just about every other moneyed institution or individual. I cannot help but wonder what Stangard is trying to tell us here. Are we supposed to believe that we are so entirely enslaved within this greedy system of business and exploitation that we cannot even become aware of our captivity unless we're drugged? And so I leave you with one last question. Is the happy ending that looms beyond the last words of the novel promising a kind of 20th century redemption through the melting pot love of Rowena in New York City? Or is it really a profoundly apocalyptic ending that's lurking behind this parody of a tidy Hollywood wrap-up?